The day has finally come. Merry Christmas. And this time we can mean it because it's the right day for that even, right? And the thing is that what we are celebrating today, my friends, is that we are celebrating this incredible theological richness of the word incarnation, that God became flesh and lived among us, that he came here. And I want you to understand, we're going to be talking about it over and over through the service today, but he was born so that we could be born again. You know, he was born so that we could become children of God and inherit eternal life. And so as we begin our worship service today, let us remember the day that we were born again in that gift of baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we thank you, Lord, for the amazing miracle of your Son's birth into this world so that we could be saved, Lord. Such an incredible thing. Lord, I pray that you would be with us today. Send your Spirit to work in us and through us, Lord, to show us, Lord, your truth. And so that we can worship you, Lord, for the God that you are and for the great deeds that you have done. And so that we can take those great deeds that are revealed to us and share them with others so that more and more people can know of your incredible goodness and your greatness. Thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen. And my friends, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, having been forgiven on this amazing holy day, let us sing praises to this God who has saved us. Thank you.
Christmas. The first scripture reading is from the book of John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1 through verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
The scripture reading for our message today comes from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, and so he became much superior to the angels, as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father and he will be my son"? Again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all the angels worship him." All right, children, it is not time for the children's message, so come on forward. See, I've got to set up a few things here. There's that. All right. Can I sit right here in the middle of you? That would be amazing. Thank you. All right. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Does anybody know what day it is today?
It's Christmas.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
It's Christmas Eve.
Who told you it was Christmas?
No, it's Christmas Eve.
Oh, it's not Christmas Eve. That was yesterday. This is Christmas Day. This is the real thing. This is Christmas. All right, well, tell me this. What happened on Christmas?
Santa gave us presents.
Oh, very good. There's that. Is there anything else that happened on Christmas?
Santa gave us toys.
Okay. Is there anything else that happened on Christmas? Oh, you think Jesus was born? Why is that such a big deal? You ever wonder about that? I mean, aren't a lot of people born? Yes. Why is Jesus' birth so different?
I know.
What is it?
Because he saved all of us.
Well, here's the thing. This picture is this large? Yeah. And what is this? Is that small? All right. Well, here's the thing. This is God, right? And this is a person. You got it? So what happened on Christmas is God became a person. Not a problem, right? Let's see how that'll work. Okay, that's it. It's all in there, right?
No.
No? Does it have to more have to pour in? Okay, let's keep pouring it. How's this going for me?
Not very good.
Not very good? Why not?
Because God was also God, but man.
Yeah, do you think God fits in a person?
No.
So how did Christmas work? I got another one. Here, let's try this. All right, I'm going to put this over here. Who's a really good artist? I need somebody who knows how to draw. Who can draw for me? Okay, Mason, come on up here. Oh, here it is. What I need you to do is draw a house. Is that easy? Okay, very good. Oh, look at that. He has taken possession of this. He is like, that's amazing. Can I have a front door? Can you put a door on the house? Otherwise, you can't get in. That'd be very unfortunate. Or out, if you are in. Either way. Okay, so now you have your house, right? Can you draw a little friend for yourself? Make a little friend. That's a window. No, I like a friend, like a person. Can you put a person in there? Very good. Look at that. And it's a smiling person. That is amazing. See? Happy. I love it. I guess that's the kind of friend you would want is somebody who's happy, right? And he's got feet. Look at that. Outstanding. So here's the last thing I need you to do. I need you to go live in that house and make friends with that person. Can you do that for me? Why not? You made such a nice house. Don't you want to live in it? It's just paper? You mean you can't like move into your drawing? So you made a house, but you can't live in it? Huh. Well, isn't that what Jesus did? I mean, what the Bible tells us is that was Jesus at creation? Did God create the world and Jesus was part of that creation, right? And then what did Jesus do? He jumped into that creation. Well, that's kind of a funny thing. It's sort of like jumping into a picture you just drew. Do you think this whole becoming God, Jesus, or God being born as Jesus in this little in the manger, was that a big deal? Was that like a lot bigger deal than just another a normal person being born? Because Jesus was not just a person, he's God. He is God. He was fully human and he is fully God at the very same time. I don't know how that's possible either. I'm trying to figure it out. I mean, we tried a couple of experiments and nothing seems to work. And here's the thing. The thing that I want you to take from this is not that I'm going to be able to explain this because it's kind of bigger than our brains, right? But the reason God did this is because he loves you very, very much. And the reason he did this is because it was part of his plan for saving you and making it so that you can live in heaven with him forever. He was willing to do something very, very hard just so that he can live with you forever. Isn't that amazing? So we pray. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us so much. You can say that. Dear Jesus, I pray that you'd be with us this Christmas, that we may enjoy what you have made for us and look forward to the time we be with you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, and now, do we have a little worship today? It does not look like it. Okay, guys, you have to go back and sit with your families, and we will start the teaching time. All right. I have to put away my stuff. Oh, thank you for the crayon. I appreciate that. All right. All the things that they didn't tell us we'd be doing at seminary. All right, my friends. So today is Christmas. And yesterday we talked about what it means to have a Merry Christmas, right? And today we're going to be talking about why Christmas is such a big deal in the first place. And as we talked about with the kids, Christmas is all about this incredible miracle, this unexplainable thing that God did we call the incarnation, which means God took on flesh, became a person, and lived in the world that he created. That somehow God shoehorned all of his majesty into this person of Jesus, that all the God had dwelled in him, even though he took up very little real estate. This miracle that we can't even fully grasp in our brain, but is so incredibly important that it be true. And let me explain why it's so important that it be true. And we're going to use today's text to kind of explore it. Starts out by saying, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets and did it in a whole bunch of different ways at different times. And we know that this is true, right? I mean, we have the Old Testament witness. We can read all the different ways that God spoke to his people. I mean, Abraham, he talked to. Sometimes he sent an angel. Sometimes Moses, burning bush, right? And then later the tabernacle, and I mean, there was all these ways that God used to speak to his people, the column of fire by night and the smoke by day that he led his people, the Urim and the Thummim, the little rocks that they were able to pull out of the bag so they could get a yes or no answer from God at important times. There was all of these different ways that God spoke to his people. And all these different people, I mean, everybody from, you know, God speaking to Adam and Eve in the garden, and then later to Abraham and Noah, and I mean, all of these people that he spoke to all the way through, I mean, Elijah, Elisha, all the way out through Malachi, that God spoke to his prophets, and his prophets faithfully wrote down what they learned from God. And God slowly but surely throughout the Old Testament revealed the plan of salvation to his people. But now God was going to do something a little different. God was going to speak to us directly. And he wasn't going to do it like he did in Genesis, where he really just scared the people to death when he talked to them out of the heavens at Mount Sinai, but he did it by becoming one of us. We call it the state of humiliation because what Jesus did is not that he was ever humiliated, because what could humiliate him? I mean, he's kind of bigger than everything, but he chose to limit himself. He chose to hide some of his glory. He chose to be a person, so that he could talk to us as a person and speak to us in a language we understand, to be there to ask questions and get answers, to truly communicate and to share exactly what it was that God is all about. Because we had the prophets in the Old Testament, and they were an intermediate way for God to communicate. God spoke to the prophet then spoke to the people and wrote it down so that we are able to read it. But all of that communication came through the intermediary, through the prophet. They had to be the one in the middle. But now Jesus came to speak to us directly. And think about why Jesus would have to do that. And the answer is, well, because God cared enough about us to make sure that we heard directly from him. The prophets in the Old Testament prepared us for the coming of Jesus, and that's what the whole sermon series was. Coming into Christmas this year was how God was setting the stage for Christmas. And now today we're still setting the stage for Jesus, because guess what? When Jesus showed up, the people still didn't quite get it. They still didn't quite understand what this Messiah was all going to be about. They were looking for a political Messiah. They were looking for, you know, what was exactly their expectation? Well, the one thing I'll say, their expectation was not what God was trying to communicate. The people listening to the prophets still didn't quite get it. And so Jesus did not just come into the world to redeem us. He came into the world to talk to us, to tell us who he is. And it's so important that we understand who Jesus is, because then his words take on a different meaning and have a totally different authority, right? Because Jesus even said, he goes, you know, the disciples came to him once and says, how can we know the Father? And Jesus says, you've been with me so long. If you know me, you know the Father. Because the Father and I are one. And you look at the verse for today, it says this. He says that the Son is the radiance of God's glory. Wow, that's some lofty language right there, right? The radiance of God's glory. So all of God's glory is in Jesus. It's all in there. His glory, you know when the shepherds were out in the fields, remember? And it said that the angels appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord showed around the shepherds. And what was their response? They were terrified. Okay, God's glory is big. It's intense. And if you're not expecting and don't understand exactly what's happening, it will terrify you. And the shepherds were terrified by this immense, intense, incredible, overwhelming glory of God. And all of that glory is packed into the person of Jesus. It's all there. That's pretty intense. And it says is that the sun is the radiance of God's glory, an exact representation of his being. Now, representation, we understand that, right? But what is an exact representation? Well, if it's an exact representation, is it really a representation at all? Is it basically the same thing? Right? I mean, the thing is that at some point, a representation stops being a representation when it is exactly the thing that's being represented. And that's what's happening with God. We have to understand what he's getting at here is he is trying. God is using human language, which is a very limited way to communicate, right? I mean, there's only so many words and there's only so many concepts, and we here's the thing. We can't make a word that means something that we don't understand. You understand that? Yeah, it kind of works like that, right? Because if words are thoughts, if you can't think something, can you really make a word for it? And so here's the thing is that now if God is something that's a bit beyond what we can fully understand, do you see the problem with communicating to humans? It is not the limitation of God and his ability to understand and his ability to explain, but it's definitely a limitation on what we can absorb and understand about God. And truly, isn't that comforting in a lot of ways? Because if our God was small enough for us to understand, he really wouldn't be much of a God in the first place. But our God is great and big and huge and amazing and complex and overwhelming. And his plan for our salvation is equally amazing and complex and overwhelming and wonderful and very, very, very hard to get our brain around. And in fact, there's a lot of parts of it that we are never going to fully understand. How did God become flesh? How did God move into his own creation? How did God pack himself into a person? And what does all of that mean? But what we can know is this: he did it. And the question is, well, why did he do it? Well, that's a question with two parts. Because first we have the part of why did he do it, as in like what was his motivation, right? I mean, what would make him do such a crazy thing? You know, we've got people who do crazy things all the time. You know, these people like this decide, well, I'm going to ride my bike across the United States. Go for it. Let me know how it turns out. I'll be sitting on my sofa. I don't exactly understand the motivation that leads people to do some of the crazy things that they do. I mean, what are you getting out of this that makes it worth the incredible amount of work you have to put into it, right? And the question is still with God is this, is that this incredible miracle that Jesus did by packing himself into a human, making himself human. He was 100% human, is 100% human, 100% God. How that works, nobody can quite get their head around it. But the fact that he did that miracle, the reason he did it, is because it was what was necessary for you to live with him forever in heaven. That you and your sin were unable to save yourself, me too, but we were unable to save ourselves. And so Jesus did what was necessary. And we always point to the cross and we say, the cross, that is what he did that was necessary. The incarnation is the other side of that equation. There is no cross without the incarnation. You know, Jesus had to be born so that he could live on earth and so that he could die. Without his birth, this plan of salvation doesn't work. Jesus was already doing crazy, sacrificial, and miraculous things even at Christmas. And it was directly connected to our salvation. Because we needed a life, right? I mean, it's one thing for God to take our sinful life away from us on the cross, but it's hard to call ourselves born again if God doesn't give us a new life, right? And the question is, well, where does that new life come from? It comes from the life that Jesus lived for us. He was a man. He is God. He lived his life. He did it perfectly. And he did it for us so that that life can be credited to us and we receive the righteousness of God. He receives our sinful guilt, this guilt of our sin. He takes it from us. He put it on himself. And then he suffered and died, bearing the full penalty of that sin. The plan of salvation, or the planning for salvation, began in Eden. And God was perfecting and working out that plan, preparing the world, preparing his people, preparing all of this stuff and getting everything in just the right place so that at just the right time, he could put his plan in motion. And this plan of salvation, which ends at the tomb when Jesus is resurrected from the dead and shows victory over the grave, begins at Christmas. What a God we have, what a God we serve, what a God of love, what a God of action, what a God of power, all because he couldn't stand to live without you. He wanted you with him forever. Let's worship this God because he is truly amazing. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you for your incredible grace that motivated you to do something so difficult as to leave heaven, come to earth, be born, and somehow enter the creation that you made. Limit yourself in the person of a human, but yet be fully God packed into that person. Lord, such a mystery, such a thing that we can't understand, but thank you, Lord, for doing this thing. Thank you for doing what was necessary so that we could be saved. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Great I am, born to take.
Let's stand as we confess our faith using the words of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day that you have given us, a day of celebration, a holy day where we remember your birth, the day that you took on flesh to live among us, to speak to us and tell us your truth and to save us, Lord, from our sin. Lord, I pray that you would be with every single one of us as we celebrate this holy day. Lord, I pray that you would help us to use it as an opportunity to share this truth with others, especially the people in our own families. Give us opportunity, give us courage, give us words so that more people can know of your truth and be encouraged in their faith. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all those who are struggling at this time of year, struggling in the cold, struggling to have enough in the middle of economic time of inflation. Lord, I pray that you would bless those who are poor, give them what they need, Lord, and use us. Give us the eyes to see them and the courage to act and the words to say so that we are also able to do your work as you provide for your people. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless our families as we gather together. Help us, Lord, as we spend time together, that our relationships can grow and deepen, and that we can mutually encourage one another, Lord, both in life and in you, that you would give us the grace to be able to be forgiving and be loving in all situations. Lord, I pray that you would bless our families as we exemplify, Lord, your forgiveness for each other. Lord, I pray that you would be with those who are traveling this season, that you would help people to get to the places that they need to go and to do it safely and to be able to return, Lord, so that they can continue to live out their lives for you, doing the works that you have prepared in advance for them to do. Lord, I pray that you would continue to give us all strength as we deal with this cold. And thank you, Lord, for the health and well-being that you have given each of us. Lord, I pray that you'd also be with those who are sick this season. Give them strength and healing, Lord. Help them to recover. Help them so that they can feel good for the times that they spend with their loved ones, so that they can enjoy such times, and give them the strength that they are going to need if they do not feel better. All these things we bring to you this day, and we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." You know, this meal is such an incredible miracle as well. You know, just like the miracle of incarnation, where God became flesh and lived among us, in this meal we receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And just like with the incarnation, and we don't exactly understand how that possibly could be, this is exactly the same kind of mystery. But we know it's true because God told us it's true.
Angels ring it with us.
truly an amazing thing that God has done. I mean, in his birth, in his death, in his resurrection, and in this meal that he gives us, whereby we are able to receive that forgiveness of sins that he earned for us on the cross. Truly, truly an amazing God we serve. And because our God is good, because our God is powerful, because his word is true and cannot be broken, and he has promised us that this gift isn't a gift by which we receive this salvation. Depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand as we sing the final song together. Go tell it on the mountain. Because there is a response that is necessary, that is like something that we can't not do once we understand what it is we have received. And that is that we actually have to tell people about it. So the shepherds did it. We can do it too, right? Excellent. So let's go tell it on the mountain. My friends, it is wonderful to have worshiped with you on this special holy day of Christmas. Merry Christmas to all of you. And don't forget, next week, Bible study, Sunday school, everything goes back to normal again. So stick around after church next week, and we will open up God's word together and learn from it. God's blessings on your Christmas season. And just share this message of our incredible God. Amen. Outstanding. I'll see you in the back, folks.